It's time once again for Radio Rotary here at WHVW. Scott is ready to go.
Oh, thank you very much. And this is your host, Rotarian Scott Meyer, speaking to you from New York's beautiful Hudson Valley and Rotary District 7210. And remember, if any of these shows you want to hear, just go to Rotary District 7210, and you can download the shows, play them again, laugh with us, cry with us, anything you want to do. And today we really do have a fantastic show. And a show dear and near and close, or whatever those words are, to my heart. We have four librarians with us today, and I'm...
Well, that explains it. Okay.
Yes, as owner of an independent bookstore, that would. But these librarians are nothing like the librarians of my youth. There is no resemblance to these librarians to the ones I had. So when I was, I remember...
Well, they should be saying, shh.
Don't do that anymore.
That's a myth. When I was, what was a myth?
What's
a myth?
They did when I was a kid.
The shushing.
Oh, the shushing. Oh,
yeah, they sure did.
The bun. Oh, well, that's, well.
No, they didn't have buns, but they,
well, there was
no,
a,
they did the shushing.
A severe librarian in the library that I frequented as a child, and I would go in the big doors, and the children's section was right to the right, so I would slink in and dash over to the right side, and suddenly I was there surrounded by all the beautiful children's books, and I would grab a handful. I can remember the Wizard of Oz books, all of them. I would took them all out, put them in my arms, and take them up to the front desk nervously and said, I'd like to take these out. And I don't even know if I said anything, to be honest with you. And I would grab them and run off. But today's librarians are much more interactive. They are enthusiastic, caring. They really, really work well with the children and the teachers if they're in a school. They're incredible people, and that is today's librarian. It's a much harder job, but a much funner. It's much more fun that now. And they also have all the different services they have. They have the internet. They have they're more media savvy than I am now or ever will be. So today we have four librarians with us, and we have Beth and Margaret and Pauline and Kate, and I'm just going to have them go around and introduce who they are and where they're from. We'll start here with Pauline.
Oh. I'm Pauline Hare. I'm at LaGrange Middle School in the Arlington School District.
And I'm Margaret Keefe. I'm the coordinator of youth services at the Mid-Hudson Library System in Poughkeepsie.
I'm Beth Zambito. I'm the youth services librarian at the Adrian's Library of the Poughkeepsie Public Library District.
I'm Kate Sprague Hicks at Unionville Middle School in the Arlington School District.
All magnificent people. And today we're going to start with something called Bob. And I believe Beth is... And Beth, Margaret sent to me that Beth is doing Bob, and I want to know what that is.
I never said
that.
Oh, my
Lord.
I mean, that's what the email said.
So I was
a daytime show.
I would love to meet Bob. Then, no. Bob is just a... abbreviation of Battle of the Books.
It's you're having a battle.
It's a battle.
It's a battle.
And
Battle of Books stands for Bob.
Battle of the Books.
I got you.
And Margaret is actually the coordinator extraordinaire of Battle of the Books for the Mid-Hudson Library System. There are 15 participating libraries in the system this year.
Have you done it before?
I have, just last year.
All right, let's ask Margaret then. What is Battle of the Books? I mean, you're in charge of it. What is it?
Battle of the Books is a great competition for, in our case, 6th through 9th graders. They read 10 titles that the librarians involved choose, and they become really super familiar with the books. And over the summer, they have some fun activities at their libraries to help them get more familiar. And then we get together this year on September 13th. And have a regional battle, and it's basically trivia questions about the books, and the kids form teams and compete against each other and have a lot of fun.
So I encourage everybody to go to this battle, which is taking place at where's it taking place?
September 13th at Roy C. Ketchum High School.
So that's
in
tomorrow
Wappingers.
In Wappingers at Roy C. Ketchum.
Not
High
tomorrow,
School?
No. Oh, it is tomorrow. Sorry,
yes.
Sorry, time warp. Tomorrow at Roy C. Ketchum High School in Wappingers Falls from 1 to 4 o'clock.
1 to 4 o'clock. So definitely come. And I have some sort of relationship with this. I'm the MC. Is that?
Yes,
I'm still the MC.
Scott is the MC extraordinaire. He has done the question asking and helped the kids get comfortable. This is our fourth year, and you have done it Every year, I believe.
Yeah,
so
every year.
He keeps coming back.
I don't know why. I mean, there's a lot of good stories about it. Now, what? Let's go back to the Battle of the Books. So where did the idea originate from?
Well, originally, one of my colleagues, another librarian down on Long Island, had been doing this in Suffolk County, and I thought it sounded interesting. So we decided we would try it. The first year, this is our fourth year, so the first year we did it, we only had five of our libraries. The Mid-Hudson Library System has 66 member libraries. And the first year we had five, and we had great fun and sort of got some of the kinks out. And then the next year we got 12 libraries interested. Last year we had 14. This year we have 15. So we keep growing our numbers as the other libraries find out what fun the kids have. I think we continue to grow. So
it's a lot of fun. I have fun with the students. I think they're great. And what grade again? Tell us the grade they're
They are going into 6th through 9th grade as of this coming fall.
6th through 9th grade. And how many students participate? I mean, do you have a number on how many?
Well, we have 15 teams. I think a couple of our small libraries have only got four kids, but several libraries have 10. So it's probably between 130 and 150 kids.
Great. And it's a wonderful program. It's a lot of fun. Some of the questions, do you have an idea of some of the questions that were asked in previous?
Sure.
Beth has one.
Sure, because I run this program for the Poughkeepsie Public Library District at Adrian's, and I have 9 kids who are involved this year, and basically we would practice trivia at each of our book discussion and practice programs. Some of the questions.
Now, these are questions from previous years or ones that you've made up?
Ones that we made up for this year. The answers to trivia questions. The trivia questions are based on the 10 books that everyone who is competing have read. So not just my kids, but all the library's kids. And the answers to the trivia questions will always be the full title of the book and the full author. So for instance, one of our books this year was The Wizard of Oz, one of Scott's favorites, evidently.
Actually, the first one I was afraid of. All the others I loved.
Now, this question would never be involved because it's way too easy, but if Scott asked at the regional battle, in which book was there a girl named Dorothy who was from Kansas, the answer would be The Wizard of Oz by L. Frank Baum.
And so they have to tell the title and the author
to
get it right.
Exactly.
And Rotary is a huge supporter of literacy, and they feel very strongly about this program, and they've often donated money to your program, and the Mid-Hudson Library System is always in need of money, and they would gladly accept donations to this program. I'm sure, is that right, Margaret?
Yes, through the individual libraries in the communities where the program
is taking
place.
So give the donation to the library
right.
to pay for the books and
mm-hmm.
to pay for
right.
T-shirts or whatever they need.
We do, the whole program is paid for by sponsors. So we have Senator Saland, Assemblyman Molinaro, Assemblyman Miller, Ulster Savings Bank, Rhinebeck Savings Bank, some of the libraries that are taking part, their friends groups have donated money, and Hannaford stores every year have donated snacks for the kids to have while they're waiting to go into the competition. So we've had a lot of support from the community. It's been very, very nice. And the other good part of that is the libraries don't have to put anything in their budgets to take part in this program. So we've been happy to be able to do that.
It's a great program. Wonderful. It's a lot of fun. So we're talking about Battle of the Books, and we're talking with four different librarians. And when we come back from our Rotary announcement, we're going to talk with Pauline and Kate and ask them if any of their students have been members of Battle of the Books, or if they want them to be.
What can you do as a member of Rotary? You can eradicate polio. You can promote peace. You can feed the hungry. You can help children do better in school. Whether it's helping to eliminate a dreaded disease, volunteering at a food bank, or equipping a school library, Rotary is people who know that by working together, you can do anything. Learn more at Rotary.org. Rotary, humanity in motion.
All right, and we're back, and we are talking with four librarians, and we're finishing talking about Battle of the Books, but we want to ask Pauline and Kate if they know of any of their students who have done the program.
Not to my knowledge, although they may know about it and be reading some of these titles on their own.
Yes. I have a student who, not where I am right now at Unionville, but when I was teaching at another school, a librarian there, one of the secretary's daughters had done it through the Statsburg Library, and she loved the program. She enjoyed reading the books all the year, you know, during the summer and participating, and her mother was telling me about it before I knew a lot about it as a librarian, and she just, you know, loved it and couldn't say enough good about the program. Good.
Right. It's done through the public library system of the Mid-Hudson Valley, which is, how many counties is that?
Five
counties. And they all get together and they decide which, I guess each library can decide if they want to come. And you said there are 66 libraries?
Yeah, we have 66 libraries and four more branches.
So we need a few more teams out there. So come on, you guys. Those of you who are not, haven't joined Battle of the Books, go right ahead. It's a lot of fun. Get your groups together. I know that we've had teams of up to 12 people in the past. And but most of the teams, there's four on stage at a
five on stage at a time.
Mm-hmm. And what they have buzzers, just like in Jeopardy or College Bowl, and they press the button and they have to answer the question. And as we got an Beth gave us an example of a question, so then they have to give us the title and the author, and we go through it until we go through like a, how does it set up?
25 questions per round, and then each round has a winner and a loser, or a consolation winner, as we like to call them. We don't like to call them losers. So, and then we go to a next round, and there's sort of a structured battle grid that we follow so that everybody, every team gets to play at least twice so that they, you know, have the fun of competition at least twice. And then we have we have winners, and this year we're going to have first, second, and third prize winners.
So then they go through this like elimination round, and once you've gone had two chances, mm-hmm. then you get eliminated after that. It's a once in and once out, and it's a lot of. And I remember, I think it was might have been the first year or the second year, we could not find a winner. We went through I think over 70 questions, and I think Margaret said we just have to go a tie. I mean, I went through every question that I had that you gave me. And,
the lesson we learned from that the next year was to write the questions and make them much more difficult because the kids are so sharp and they just have phenomenal memories, remember every detail. So, and you have five kids combining their knowledge, so that's a really powerful lot of memory. So we've made the questions quite a bit more difficult, and we haven't had a tie since. So hopefully that will continue.
So I'm trying to think of how to phrase this, but the kids, have you got any good stories about the students? Did they tell you anything, or the librarian whose team came?
Yes, we have 2 years ago, one of our small libraries had only three kids on her team, and they were still going to compete, and they came to the competition, and only one of the team members showed up. So she was so disappointed that she wasn't going to get to compete. So a couple of the other teams who had extra kids said that they would be willing to join her on stage and compete with her so that she would have a chance. So everyone thought that was pretty much the highlight of the day, that the kids, you know, stepped up and did that. So that's always been a fond memory of mine from the program.
No, it's great when you have extra members. Now, since we have Battle of the Books here, which is a question and answer thing, we obviously need to ask our librarian some questions, which are not from the Battle of the Books, which are presidential brainiac questions. And these are questions about historic events during the past years of presidential campaigns, etc. So the first question, which vice president's father represented Tennessee in Congress for 32 years?
Al Gore
Jr.
Oh,
very good.
That's an easy one.
Our librarians are so good. They really are.
He just spoke last night and he talked about his dad.
Somebody's watching television instead of reading.
This is
history in the making.
That's right.
So which political party used the slogan Coolidge or Chaos during the 1924 election?
Republicans or Democrats?
One of those two guys. It was the Republican Party. The Republicans feared that a Robert La Follette of the Progressive Party might draw votes, so they played up the fears of the election that they would have to be decided in the House of Representatives. Oh. Thus the chaos. Hmm. And the last question for our great librarians. Which First Lady ordered the first set of china for the White House?
Oh, we know this one. Elizabeth Monroe.
Elizabeth Monroe, which was the wife of James Monroe.
And that's a repeat.
And she did place that order with a firm in Paris. I don't know. I guess back then, 1870, we must have had China back then. Let's start buying things American here. What's going on? No.
Well, we wouldn't be here without France.
No, I know. I'm just teasing. All right. So now, we've been talking about Battle of the Books with Margaret and Beth. And we want they're the public librarians, and they do things, do programs in the school. So we want to find out now the relationship between the public library and school librarians. And we have Pauline and Kate with us who are public school librarians. So give me some ideas, relationships between a public library and your libraries in school.
Okay, some of the things that I've worked with the public librarians for is in the end of the school year, we get the local public librarian to come into our school to talk about the summer programs that they have going on, talk about the summer reading programs. They also come in and help the children sign up for a public library card, tell them how to sign up for the public library card. The students are very receptive to this, and every year, I've done it for 2 years now, and I've had 40 and 30 students respectively come in and sign up for the public library cards. Another thing we do...
So they sign up for the library card right in the school?
They fill out the form, and then their parent has to go to the library and sign for them because they are minors, and then they pick up the card then at the local public library. But we get the ball rolling and get them interested in it. We show them all the programs that they do, whether it be cooking or babysitting or different the summer reading programs, and roll it out to the students. And, of course, it ignites. You know, one student comes down and gets interested, and they go back into the cafeteria and tell their friends, and more students come down during the day to sign up and get information about that.
I love that program. And I tell you, I'm going to tell you a quick story about at the Merritt Bookstore, we do a kindergarten social every year. And I read to the incoming kindergartners. And I always and the library comes and they read and the principal reads, and we try to promote I always try to promote the library, and I keep forgetting about the bookstore, and I don't talk about the bookstore. So the first thing I say is, you know, how many of you have library cards? And they go, nobody raises their hands because they're all 5 years old, and they go, library card. And I said, so then I say, well, you know, you got a library card, you can take books out from the library, and then the youth librarian is there, and I'll say to her, how many books can they take out at a time? And she'll say, as many as they can carry. And so as many as they can, carry. So then I have a little student come up, and I put books in their hands, and I press down on them, and then I have all the other 30 or 40 kids in the room count, and they go 1, 2, 3, 4. So we get up to about 10 or 12, and they're starting to stagger. So I say, let's stop here. Let's say, so you can do at least 10 or 12 books. So let's figure out how many books you can read in a year. So if you can take out 10 books, say, there's 365 days in a year. That's 3,650 books that you can read in a year, you know, with help of your parents, guardians, and older brothers and sisters. So, but wait a minute. Many libraries are closed on Sunday, so you have to subtract 52. And I'm going through this mathematical progression. And it comes down to about 1,500 books that they can read in a year. Because, you know, maybe you can't go every day, so every other day. So I recommend 1,500 books a year to these students. And many of them really try to do it. And it's, you know, they get piles of books. Helps the library circulation, and it helps their reading. It's just a win-win. Then I ended up by saying, and if you go to the library today, go with your parents today, you can get a free library card. Today only. Go to the library right after this and get a free library card. And they're all very excited. And in all the years I've done that, I've only had one parent call me and say, I can't go today. can I go next week? And I said to her, I said, on the telephone, I said, yes, you can do that if you tell them that it's me that's telling you it's okay. And so, but it's very funny. But that free library card, everybody should have a free library card. I have one in my pocket right now. And now the new library cards are Mid-Hudson Valley library cards. Is that correct?
Mid-Hudson
or at least
library
the one I
system.
Have. System, yeah, so yeah. You can...
System-wide, so you can borrow anything that's at any library in our system.
You can go to any library or in the system. Mm-hmm. So you can get the book. Say I'm in Millbrook and you have a book in Poughkeepsie, mm-hmm, at the Adrians, and I want it. It'll be delivered to Millbrook, and then I return it to Millbrook. Is that correct?
Correct.
Can I return it to any
of
the libraries?
You can return it anywhere in the system.
Anywhere in the system. So I could read it in Millbrook and return it to, mm-hmm, Poughkeepsie.
So if you work in Poughkeepsie, you want to return it in Poughkeepsie, you can do that.
So now, Pauline, I didn't mean to interrupt, but...
It's quite all right. I'm getting used to that.
So what are some of the projects you've done?
I usually have some public librarians come in September, which is Library Card Month. and do a similar type of situation. They sit in the lunchrooms where it's sort of a captive audience and have a little display, and the kids will come up.
So do you say, if you want food, you have to get a free library card?
Well, it's close to that, but not quite. But I also remind them during the course of the year, whenever they come in for research or they're looking for a book that we may not have, that if they have a library card, then they can certainly go to the public library and get that book or that information, or have access to computers if they don't at home. A lot of times they come home and come into school and they'll say, well, I was going to work on my research project, but my computer broke. And I tell them, well, you can always go to the public library and use the computers there.
So, right. So it's
a very nice give and take. We do a couple of different things, too. Margaret always has that at the end of close to the end of the school year, Randy comes in, you know, and talks about the newest books and things.
Oh, yes, the book banquet.
And you invite us.
Right.
And it's great. We get to meet each other.
It's a book banquet where a couple of librarians come in and talk about the American Library Association's award-winning books from that year. And so we invite both school librarians and public librarians, the idea being not only do they get to hear about the wonderful books, but they get to network with each other and maybe put a face with a name and hopefully have some future partnerships.
It's great fun.
That's great. So I think it's very, very important to use both libraries. Get your library card and go to the public library, go to your school library, use both. And we're going to have another word from our Rotary International sponsor.
Could you dedicate yourself to a worthy cause? Could you go the distance to keep a child healthy? Could you travel the world to help eliminate polio? Could you? A Rotary member could. Rotary continues its efforts to end this crippling disease worldwide, providing children with needed vaccinations. All it takes is one person to make a difference. Will you help change the world? For more information, go to Rotary.org. Rotary, humanity in motion.
Great. So we have with us four terrific librarians. And as I've said earlier in the show, these librarians and the ones today are not like the librarians of my youth. They're much more enthusiastic, magnificent, caring book people.
That sounds like the librarian of my youth.
Well, you're so much younger than I am, so.
Must be so.
Oh, my goodness. So, Beth, we've also been talking about Battle of the Books, and Beth has some more information about Battle of the Books that she'd like to share with us.
Yeah, I had a question during the break there about the timeline for the Battle of the Books. It is a program that the librarians who are involved with, and of course Margaret, are involved with all year long. I won't say it's a lot of work. It is, but it is definitely rewarding. I suggest that more libraries in the Mid-Hudson Library System get involved. It is great for the kids. It's also great for the staff. It's been the highlight of my summer programs for me, honestly. We choose, in the beginning of each year, we choose the 10 books that we're going to be reading with the kids. Then we have to write the trivia questions.
So let me go back to the books for a minute. Yeah. So when you choose the books, do you all the librarians get together?
Yeah.
And they say, I'd like this book, and then you vote on it? Mm-hmm. Is that how it
works? Margaret facilitates these meetings at Mid-Hudson where, say it's 15 libraries like this year, representatives from each library come to the meeting with some suggestions on books that would be appropriate for this competition for kids who are going to be entering 6th through 9th grade in the fall season.
I know a number of the books, of course, but I have a story about one of the books that I'm going to tell before. And that's Northern Light by Jennifer Donnelly. And Jennifer Donnelly walked into the store. Sorry. And I had a writing workshop upstairs. And so I invited her to go upstairs and meet with the writers. And then I went into the back room, and Margaret had just emailed me the list of books that was going to, and Northern Light was on it. And so when Jennifer came down, I showed her the list. I said, you're not going to believe this. So within 15 minutes, I had all these things with Jennifer. And when the books came in, if you look in those Northern Lights, most of them are signed because I had her sit down and sign all the books, and which is like 80 books.
77
books. And And as a matter of fact, I had to go to a baseball game with my son. So I left her in the store. I closed the door, and I said, just close the door when you go out. And so she sat there by herself and signed all those books.
Oh, that's great. I didn't notice that. I'll have to look at my
books. Yeah. So, now, there could be a couple that she missed, but she did sign them all. And she does a great job. So it's fun, to the whole relationship between author, book, and students.
And this year, for the first time, we invited two of the authors of the books that we were highlighting, and she was one of them. And she came to the Town of Esopus Library over in Ulster County and did a presentation, and any of the kids, any of the teams who wanted to could have come. So we did, she was invited, and Joseph Bruschek, because we did his Code Talker book. So
what is the list of books? Beth, I don't mean to...
Oh, not at all. The titles, All of the Above by Shelley Pearsall, The Boggart by Susan Cooper, Code Talker by Joseph Bruschek, Downsiders by Neil Shusterman, Hero by S.L. Rotman, The Last Book in the Universe by Rodman Philbrick, A Northern Light by Jennifer Donnelly, Shakespeare's Secret by Elise Broach, Sleeping Freshmen Never Lie by David Lubar, and The Wizard of Oz by L. Frank Baum.
A lot. So you have some classics and some current books.
Yes, and that's one of the biggest, the largest goals of the program is to introduce kids to different genre, different authors that they may not have been exposed to. I never read Wizard of Oz as a child, so this was great.
It probably would have scared you, too.
Yeah, actually, I was reading, I'm like, wow, ooh, this is kind of violent, but it was awesome. It was a great book. There's sci-fi, humor, historical fiction, multicultural fiction, fantasy, things that I don't read all the time. So I was exposed to different genres as well. It's really cool because I've had parents come in and say, my child, honestly, he reads graphic novels a lot, which is great, but he will not read anything else. He's involved in this program. He's reading sci-fi and fantasy now. He's expanding his horizons, and that's a goal of the program.
Well, I remember one year, I often talk to the students in between, and I asked one of the students, I said to the, it was a boy, and I said, maybe from Sasbury, I don't remember, but why did you do this? And he said, well, I don't read, so I thought this would give me a chance to read. And that was great. So you're stimulating new readers here.
And we try to consider introducing them to authors that they might not know as well. And then if they like the author, there are other books by them. So we make up a If You Like bookmark that we'll hand out at the actual regional battle of other titles that are similar to these to kind of foster further reading when they're done with the battle.
What some of these books, like Northern Light, for example, was by Jennifer Donnelly, it was an honor Prince Award, which is for young adult writing. And if a sixth grader is reading it, are these books all appropriate for sixth through ninth grade?
Not always. With the Northern Light, it's more for the older children. So I had 9 kids participate this year, and only 4 were able to read it because in this book there is some mature content. So I did let the parents know. Let me go back to the timeline. In the spring and summer, I have informational meetings that I like the parents to come to with the children who are interested in the program because there is a big commitment here. This is like sports for readers. I like the parents to understand the commitment as well, and also if there are books that may have some content they're not comfortable with their children reading about at this age, I do let them know that. So I encourage the parents to read Northern Light before their younger children, on the younger side, like 6th and 7th grade. And a lot of them did and said, you know what, I don't think my child's ready for this.
It's a wonderful, wonderful book.
It's a wonderful book.
Really,
I loved
well
it.
Written.
It is more on the young adult or adult
so
side.
I like the idea that you can, because you have such a large team, and you have older and younger students, you have books for everybody on your list. Mm-hmm. And not all the students or all the, what is the real term for them, the battlees or the players? Or the
Team members.
all the team members are not going to read necessarily all the books.
Right.
Of your team, how many have read all the books?
I would say 4. The rest of them have read the 9 books, the other 9 books, because I encourage them to read all the books because that makes you a stronger player.
Right.
In fact, it's suggested that there's only 5 official team members because you can only have 5 members of the team on stage at once. You can have 2 teams of 5.
So we've been talking today, and tomorrow is Battle of the Books, so don't hesitate to go at the Ketchum High School from 1 to 4. That's Saturday, 1 to 4 on September 13th. So now We've been talking with four great librarians about Battle of the Books and other issues that facing libraries. I'm really glad to be here, and this is our show for today, and this is your host, Rotarian Scott Meyer, speaking to you from New York's beautiful Hudson Valley in Rotary District 7210. Go to our website, download past shows. Thank you, ladies. You are all magnificent librarians.
Thank you.
Thank you.